The new VFR rules over the Hudson start on Thursday. Atlantis makes a clean getaway from Earth's gravity. And it may be time to look at your hydraulic lifters. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 17, 2009. The FAA has finalized a federal rule that takes effect on Thursday, separating low-altitude, local aircraft flights over the Hudson River from flights transiting the airspace. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "Better separation of aircraft means a higher margin of safety. These new rules will ensure that aircraft can operate safely in the busy Hudson River airspace," unquote. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt offered, quote, "These changes will define separate corridors for aircraft operating locally and those flying along the Hudson River area. Separating aircraft on different missions and improving pilot situational awareness will add more layers of safety to this high-demand airspace," unquote. The rule also now requires pilots to follow safety procedures that were previously recommended but not mandatory. In an exclusion zone below 1,300, pilots must announce their aircraft type, position, direction, and altitude at charted mandatory reporting points and must stay along the New Jersey shoreline when southbound and along the Manhattan shoreline when northbound. The FAA has also developed an online training program that covers flight operations in the New York area. You can get more detail in the text version of this story, dated November 16th, at aero-news.net. NASA got a clean launch right on time yesterday at 2:28 p.m., and Atlantis is on its way to the International Space Station for mission STS-129. Atlantis and its crew are delivering two control moment gyroscopes and other equipment to the station and will undertake three spacewalks. The mission also will return station crew member Nicole Stott to Earth and is slated to be the final space shuttle crew rotation flight before the fleet is retired next year. The FAA has issued an emergency airworthiness directive for certain Teledyne Continental Motors 240, 360, 470, and 520 series reciprocating engines. TCM reported three occurrences of rapid wear on the face of hydraulic lifters at as little as 5 hours time in service. The condition could result in a loss of engine power and loss of control of the airplane. Get more details at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, two more Dreamliners get modded over the weekend. Airships may be about to make a comeback. And ATR celebrates an increased order from Wings Air. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Just a few days after reporting that modifications to strengthen the wing attachment point on the fuselage of the first 787 test aircraft, Boeing now says the full-scale static test airframe and the second Dreamliner designated for flight test both got their mods over the weekend. Emphasizing that the company is still expecting first flight to happen by year's end, Boeing VP and 787 program GM Scott Fancher commented, quote, "Concurrently, we are restoring the airplanes and completing the functional tests required to fly by the end of the year. We are building momentum with each milestone we achieve. This team is focused on its goals and bringing us ever closer to first flight," unquote. eGreen Technologies tells ANN it has acquired 21st Century Airships based in Newmarket, Ontario, Canada. 21st Century claims to be the world's leading airship research and development company with 18 patents issued and pending on the company's airship technology. eGreen CEO Michael Lawson explained, quote, "The acquisition of 21st Century, with advanced technology and next-generation design, will position us to bring to market the highest-performing, best-value, and most capable airships offering low, medium, and high-altitude, long-endurance flight services," unquote. 21st Century has successfully flown 14 prototypes and is targeting markets including remote sensing, communications, surveillance and reconnaissance, missile defense, surveying, cargo transport, and advertising. E-Green is preparing the new helium-filled Bullet 580 airship for near-term flight. The ship's designed for vertical takeoff and landing, a ceiling of 20,000 feet, and long endurance. Wings Air, a subsidiary of Indonesia's largest private carrier, Lion Air, and manufacturer ATR, have announced a contract for the purchase of 15 ATR 72-500s, with option for 15 more ATR 72-600s. The order was announced a year ago as an MOU for 10 firm and 10 options, so this is an upgrade. Total value at list prices of the firm orders and options would be $600 million. The 72-seat aircraft will also make Wings Air the launch customer for the ATR 72-500 in Indonesia and the largest ATR operator in the country. The aircraft are to be delivered between now and 2011. Wings Air says the planes will allow it to consolidate its leading position in the rapidly developing domestic market and develop feeder routes to serve its mainline jet network. In addition, the new ATR fleet will provide service to communities which have lacked regular airline service in the past. Still ahead, the state of Ohio has aircraft for sale. Federal rule changes could open the door to pilot hiring. And to Jacksonville and beyond. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 17th. I'm Paul Plack. The state of Ohio plans to sell 6 of its 11 aircraft as a cost-saving measure. But before you get too excited, these are not what you'd call cream puffs. The 4 airplanes and 2 helicopters were all manufactured during the 60s and 70s, and are in need of major repairs. One is a Cessna 182 that last flew in February of 2007. Another is a Piper Navajo, which has not been flown since February of 2008. Aviation Administrator James Bryant told Ohio DOT Director Jolene Molitoris in mid-March that some of the aircraft should be sold to save the costs of the necessary repairs, but ODOT has not yet made any move to actually put them up for sale. The aircraft have been used in missions ranging from search and rescue and drug interdiction to VIP transport. The Dayton Daily News reports that selling the older aircraft would help reduce costs and standardize training for the aviation division. Bryant also pitched the Ohio State Legislature on a proposal to buy newer aircraft over the next 5 years at a cost of nearly $11 million, but so far there's been no bill passed. The Flight Safety Foundation will present the next in its series of pilot safety symposiums and job fairs this Saturday at the New York LaGuardia Airport Marriott Hotel. A focus will be reminding pilots of their time-honored obligations to safety and instilling those ethics in the next generation. The event is designed for airline pilot candidates. The conference examines proposed flight and duty regulations, which will strictly define pilot duty times, rest periods, and minimum qualifications, with a goal of improved safety and, says the foundation, a side effect of increased pilot hiring. FSF estimates it would take only 90 to 120 days for the feeder carriers to absorb the 1,200 pilots currently on furlough. An economic recovery could put the major airlines in a hiring mode within 2 years, which will lead to more openings at regionals and other feeders. FSF's president, Bill Voss, will be speaking on pilot ethics at the conference and explains, quote, "We are promoting a safety culture because the industry is serious about improving safety and establishing the safety mentality, even in future aviation professionals, many of whom will be attending the symposium. They represent the future of the industry and should have access to all of the foundation's expertise as they embark upon their academic work in this exciting field," unquote. I couldn't find any information about the symposium on the foundation's website, but there is contact information there so you can find out more at www.flightsafety.org. And finally today, Cecil Field near Jacksonville, Florida, is one of those small GA reliever airports pounded lately by USA Today and NBC as a waste of federal taxpayer money because it has no scheduled airline service. But if those recent attacks were discouraging for local businesses counting on the airport for economic growth, there is also some better news now. Space Florida, a public-private group tasked with leveraging Florida's expert workforce and ideal weather to create private sector employment opportunities as NASA winds down the shuttle program, went looking statewide for a facility which could be developed for horizontally launched spacecraft. Bob Simpson, the senior director of Cecil Field, says the group wanted a runway at least 10,000 feet long and at least 200 feet wide. Oh, and one more thing. It had to have no commercial airline service. Cecil Field was the only airport in the state that met all three requirements. Even the environmental work has been completed, and airport officials expect the approach corridors to be officially sanctioned by the FAA. Simpson says, quote, "The next part is to obtain a company that is involved in commercial space travel for horizontal launch and arrival to use a licensed airport," unquote. So take that, USA Today. By the way, I'd like to thank the hotels that leave USA Today outside the door of my room each morning during aviation events. Having a fresh doormat each day is a nice touch, but they'd be even better without all that ink. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Chairman Doug Stewart of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators talks about the growing list of resources for instructors on the SAFE website. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.